I mean, he shows us how some of them really aren't very smart. They got more than one wife. I don't know if you hear me here today. If you got more than one wife at a time, you are not smart. I mean, brother, you are not designed for that kind of warfare. You're just not designed for it. Number one, you don't even have enough words to even engage. And some of them not only had two wives, they had three wives. And then Solomon maxed it out. 700 wives and 1,100 concubines. Now you can't tell me Viagra existed there. And Cialis. And all that stuff. You can't tell me that stuff was around there. That was a bad brother, I'm telling you. When he's got 700 wives and 1,100 concubines. You know, sometimes we don't even think about what the script is really saying to us. And how that it reveals the total humanity. Sometimes we don't even observe enough where the wives, they're in rivalry with each other. Oh, yeah. Sons are in rivalry with each other. If one seems to be the favored one, the others start conniving. Before they start conniving, they have a conniption. How many of you know what a conniption is? You can't even find it in the dictionary, but we all know what a conniption is. Huh? And then they start conniving to get rid of the brother that they're jealous of. And God shows us all of this, the dynamics of family. And it's all right here. He shows us how that he establishes, if you will, through the book of Joshua, how that he's able to take them in to the land he promised the fathers. And campaign after campaign, strategy after strategy, conquer king after king after king. And then at the close of it, there's still a whole lot that they haven't done. And Joshua closes his writings. He's 110 years old. How many of you would like to live to be 110 years old if you got good health? Huh? How many of you would like to do that? Are you prepared for most of the people that you know to be gone? I didn't think so. But if you live to be 110 or 120, most of the people you know now probably will be gone because that may not be on their vision list. Closes his life, and he affirms that he's committed, he and his household, to the covenant that God cut with them. There are warnings in there that they need to stay on track. Now, we already know because we read the history, they got off. The book of Judges. You can look at 450 years of history in the book of Judges. But you could summarize it this way. They're with God. Then they start to serve idols. Then the pendulum swings way down. They get real low. Their enemies rise up. And they begin to persecute them. Then they cry out to God. God raises up a judge, a champion, a deliverer, if you will. And by the way, he's usually anointed with a whole lot of problems. Are you listening to me today? But yet God raises him up, uses him for his glory, and now they've swung all the way back up. They're back on track again. But it's 450 years of that kind of swing. So what God is revealing to us is that the judges could not completely deliver them. So you move from the judges in preparation for the kings. The first king that they had, come on, you know the story. That was their man. You have to be careful when you choose your man, because your man might disappoint you. Are you hearing me here? In fact, the prophet Samuel, he thought that they were rejecting him, but God said, no, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me as their king. It's really not about you. And I had to learn that in my early stages of ministry, is that when people reject the sent of God, they're not rejecting that person. They're rejecting the God who sent them. So he said, tell them exactly what their king is going to be like. And he told them. And Saul became exactly that. And so the second round is, God said, now I'm going to show you what a king is like that I anoint, that I send you. And thus David was anointed, the beloved of God. And from that point onward, every king was to be measured based upon the standard that David established. Now, was David a perfect man? Everybody, was David a perfect man? In fact, as wonderful as he was, he had a bunch of wives too. Maybe that's where Solomon got the idea and said, I think I'm going to improve upon what Dad did. But it is true. We don't see any of his mistakes hidden. Now, I'm going someplace with this. Don't worry. We're going to get there. But the story is told, so there's not improvement necessarily through the kings, but it's the continuation of the narrative. How about the prophets? Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that the best of prophets, they only had a part. God spoke in the previous dispensation through the prophets. And not a single one had the whole message. But he says, but now in this dispensation, he's speaking in the Son. God has summed himself up. He's the full counsel of God. There's nothing else really that God can tell you that he hasn't told you in Jesus. So if you're looking for an improved message, a better message, forget it. He's the whole counsel of God. And the way John said it from a different translation is, for the first time, God told himself completely out loud to people through the person of Jesus. There's probably not a single person in here who's fully exposed yourself, not even to your husband or wife. You're thinking real hard, I know. Why in the world, after 30 or 40 or 50 years, do men still wake up shocked if you told them everything? And maybe sisters wake up shocked too that this brother's behaving in a manner that he's never behaved in before. It wasn't because all of a sudden it jumped on him and jumped in him. It was already there. It just happened to find an outlet now. And the circumstances created the outlet. And thus God gives us grace for that time in life. But what God said is, I have fully revealed my heart to you in the person of Jesus. And this is what you will find about me in revealing my heart. I am full of grace and full of truth. And there's a balance between the two of them. He says, that's what you were to learn about me displaying myself through Jesus. I'm not here to communicate some legalistic spirit, some religious spirit, some nonsensical stuff, and say this represents God. In fact, Jesus shocked people.